And we're ready to go. And I think, John, I think Culpepper is still chair.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was making sure, waiting for you to prompt me there, Kathy.
We're hoping somebody else might jump in.
We'll go ahead and call to order the meeting of the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention Commission for June 11th. I'm sorry, for September 10th. I'm looking at the minutes. September 10th, 2020. Matters from the public. Do we have any public joining our Zoom call, Kathy?
There's nobody in the waiting room right now. And if somebody comes along, I will let them in, even if it's past this point.
Fair enough. Then we'll move on to the meeting minutes of June 11th, 2020. If everybody's had a chance to review those, they were in your package, I would entertain a motion for their approval.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Please say aye. Kathy, I'm going to abstain since I was not at the meeting. Old business.
No old business from my end.
Okay, then we'll move to new business and start with the FY20 year-end unaudited financial report.
So for the unaudited financial report, right now, as of the other day when I was looking at the numbers, it looks like we're about $396,841 ahead. The audit is not complete. I talked to the auditors. They were hoping that by November they may be, but they are running late. They said they may not have actuals completed in November. So it may be in the January meeting before we get approval of the final numbers and the payouts. But the estimate right now up to date is about $396,000 ahead. Which would go to the localities, and then on page 2 shows the distribution per locality of what their share would be. But once again, it's unaudited, and we'll have to wait until the audit is complete before we do the final payouts.
Well, that's all good news. Questions or comments from the commission?
Jeff, have you shared this with our respective budget offices, Andy in my case?
Yeah, I've talked to Andy several times. I'm always in communication with him. Yeah. I believe we talked about this before, but I'll run it by him again. I left a message for him to call me today about something else. So I'll mention it to him again just to make sure.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
No problem.
Anybody else?
So are we going over the actual report, or is this just a preview to what's to come in November?
We could go over line item or pick out the big areas, but I would say in November, if we got the audited numbers of the auditors by then, we can do the final and know what the final payout is. But I don't think it's going to change much at all. It never usually does from the auditor's point of view. But we can discuss any variances that you'd want to discuss at this point. Most of their savings comes from vacancy savings. Sorry, but let me.
And I just wanted to point out too, I think we might have pointed this out before, but I can't remember. The line that says overtime wages, actually the majority of that is holiday payouts. But I think there's some sort of issue with, Jeff, you can jump in if you want, like Great Plains or codes or however they code all the holiday payouts that were a result of starting Kronos.
Right, exactly. So
that overtime, barely, there's not much of that that's actually overtime. It's mostly holiday payouts is my point, just to bring that to everybody's attention.
Can you clarify for me what is holiday payouts?
So Albemarle County, because they're our fiscal agent, we had to fall in line with the new timekeeping system that they brought on last year, which is Kronos. And because of that, we were no longer able to give staff time for holidays. We had to pay them for the holidays instead. And so where we used to put time in the bank for those holidays, because of Kronos and the technicalities of everything and some policy changes throughout the county, we fell in line with that, and we started paying those holidays out. But when it comes to what that looks like as a line item on our budget, it falls into that overtime line for right now. We're trying to get that addressed so that it's much more clear moving forward.
So, go ahead, Leticia.
What I would just need clarification. When you say holiday payout, you're not paying for holidays not work, but holidays work, correct?
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, because of our staff, whether they're here or not, they get paid for that holiday because they can't always take that holiday. Does that make sense? Because of our staff being 28 days cycle staff, security staff, 24/7 facility, if their day off lands on a holiday, they still get paid for that.
Right. I just, the word payout got me confused. Normally when I see payout, that means somebody's left.
No, right, it does not mean exactly. Right.
I just make sure we weren't paying them for holidays after they left.
Right. That'd be a good deal.
I take that deal too.
These employees had a bank of holiday time that accrued that was paid out in fiscal 20. Is that correct? And so part of this is kind of clearing the books. Is that
yeah. Correct?
Our staff were not paid out for anything that was on the books. They just worked it. They took that. Yeah. But then at that July 30, when we started in July, that's when we started paying the holidays instead of putting time in the bank.
All right. Thank you.
Kathy, just one question, or whoever can answer this. The supplies that were over budget by $12,000, what was that really attributed to?
You broke out with the what supplies?
Food supplies.
Food supplies. Thank you, Eric. That was my next question.
I don't know exactly, how that $12,000 broke down, but it's basically just some of our food costs probably have gone up in certain areas. Yeah, it wasn't one specific thing, but I think that the prices have fluctuated throughout the year, and typically we've been pretty on point, and this year it went over a little.
Other questions?
Yeah, just one other, and then under materials and supplies, COVID. So is this just pretty much anything related to PPE or any type of cleaning supplies?
Yes. And some of, some of the things that are harder to break out have been covered by our typical line item for maintenance supplies and stuff like that. But then as this progressed, we started trying to break out specifically what we're buying more of because of COVID. So the wipes, the masks, things like that, things that are easy to break out.
Thank you.
Yep.
I got two more. What is F&F replacement? Because I saw we had 40,000 budgeted for, but we didn't quite spend that under the operating capital.
Furniture and fixtures, and I believe I had set aside some money to try to repaint, and then when COVID hit, things got all out of whack in terms of trying to tie up some of those projects.
And I think my last question was on the next page, where on the operating revenues for the region, it's showing 86% complete. Is that just taking it from column H, the original budget, and not the budget amendment? Because looking at the budget amendment, everybody's paid to date.
Yeah, it's probably that percentage wasn't changed. I'll have to redo that. Good catch. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the audited version whenever we get that completed. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm assuming at this point that Kathy, you're not going to make a recommendation to do anything with that positive variance. That you're expecting that the commission is going to direct that the variance be sent distributed back to the members.
Yes.
We have in the past have put it towards some capital, but.
Yes. Correct.
That's what I was hoping. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask one question here regarding COVID specifically? Now, I'm not sure what other localities are doing. You know, if what type of money has the detention received, if any, regarding any type of PPE COVID supplies?
Any money that we've received?
Yes, any funds.
So, one of the things I was going to let you guys know about today was that I got notification last week that the grant we applied for, we were awarded. And I had applied, it was the DCJS grant. I applied for close to $50,000 for COVID supplies and some of the, to offset some of the money we'd already spent on equipment and that sort of thing. They have not yet sent details about the amount of the award and that sort of thing, but I'm pretty confident that we'll get the whole thing. So that will help, you know, balance out some of the things items we've spent money on so far, and hopefully help us purchase some additional items throughout the year, this upcoming year. But I don't know all the details about it quite yet. Other than that, we are going to be awarded that grant.
Is the grant retroactive to cover some of the FY20 expenses?
That's what I'm unclear about, because in the email that I got, it mentioned FY20 funds. But my understanding was that the funding was available through December, or I might be getting some of my grants mixed up. I'm not sure. So I'm not completely clear on that quite yet. And I was actually going to ask you guys how we would apply that or what your thoughts were on that. If it is a fiscal year 2020 award and we're awarded that money, does it have to be like, how would you guys want to do that? This is my point. And Jeff Brill, you may be able to answer this well as well.
Well, until we get the award and know we're getting the award, I don't want to recognize the revenue until I know we're getting the award for sure.
Oh, not that.
I guess where I'm kind of going with this is, you know, from the county standpoint, if there are expenses that are certainly related to COVID, I would certainly prefer to use, and then like I said, I'm just talking for Fluvanna, prefer to use CARES funds to cover that, and then hopefully not you have to utilize general fund dollars and leave those alone, because I would hate to have to return any CARES funds back, and I don't know what other localities, what situation you're in, but
yeah.
That's just kind of where I was going with my question. If there was a way to utilize, I don't know how we would do that from all the other localities to cover the COVID-related expenses, then that frees up some, you know, some maybe return of general fund dollars back to localities.
Right. And if I'm understanding you correctly, are you asking if we've received anything directly? And if that's the
correct
question, we have not. Because we as a detention center can't receive direct CARES funds. We'd have to have them come through all of your localities. So if the commission wanted to, you know, take action in that sense, I'd be okay with that, but it's up to you guys.
Well, the only reason I'm looking at it as just, but like I said, that's not knowing where everyone else is with their CARES funds is if there's the availability to return more money back to each of our general funds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the expenditures that you have are not, you know, that are related to COVID for fiscal year 20 are not a lot. And then even for fiscal year 21, but you know, every bit helps in today's financial climate.
Sure.
So Kathy, since Albemarle County is your fiscal agent, wouldn't the funds come through them?
I'm actually, Jeff Gore might be able to help answer this as well. I'm not sure if it would have to solely come through them, since all of the commission members' localities contribute to our operation. So I'm not sure what that would look like.
Yeah, I know we contribute to your operations, but they're not going to split up the grant and send it to, what is it, 7 localities. It's only going to come to one.
You mean if Jeff? We were to...
No, the grant's coming right to the commission, right?
The grant that we were already awarded, that I still don't have all the details on about the amount, was the one that was for about $50,000, and that would come directly to us. I think, Eric, you were asking about CARES funding through the localities. We have not received any direct funds through any of the localities that received CARES funding. So if the commission members did want to do something in that regard, I believe all the commission localities would be involved in that, not just Albemarle.
Okay, I see. We're talking two different strings, two different pots.
Yeah, so
okay.
How this is, I believe, is playing out with the regional jail is in the circumstances a little different, just because of the jails in a different financial position than the commission is that there are, we believe, expenses that the jail has incurred that are eligible for CARES, that we as in Albemarle County and the other two members can use CARES money to contribute to the jail at our discretion. We have to know, one, what those costs are that the jail incurred, and then have that then submitted to us, and then have us then decide how it is we want to cover that cost. So I'm not sure how that translates in this context. We're looking at actually a positive variance, significant positive variance. You'd have to identify what the costs were in FY, during the period that of eligibility for CARES, and then really kind of bill us for that, I would think, and then allow us then to use CARES money to pay that bill, as it were. It's a little confusing in my head, because we're talking about a situation where we have a significant positive variance. Right. I do think that we could use CARES money to pay our proportionate share of costs that are CARES eligible for the juvenile detention center. We just have to know what that amount is.
Yeah, to me, it would be like if we all, you know, whatever, let's just say it's, you know, $10,000, and, you know, that's small in the grand scheme of things, but if we pay a proportionate share of the $10,000 out of our CARES. Yeah.
Just based on the formula,
I mean, at the end of the day, unless all localities, and I don't know what every locality's situation is with CARES funds, I know from Fluvanna's standpoint, we are going to have excess CARES funds. I would rather use CARES funds to offset some of those expenses rather than having to return that back to the Treasury. And then, you know, if the variance is 396,000, well, maybe the variance is higher than that coming back to the localities, and it goes back to general funds.
I'm with Eric.
Yeah, I would agree, Eric. In Culpeper, we're going to have a hard time getting all our CARES funds spent. So, you know, Kathy, if you were able to produce a good accounting of CARES Act eligible expenses, I believe Culpeper would be in a position to contribute along with the rest of the members to that, which then, as Eric points out, saves money that might come back to the localities. So I would agree with that approach if others are also in agreement.
You're looking for eligible expenses. There is some ability to fund hazard pay if it is sort of uniquely related to COVID risks. And I don't know if any of the member localities have chosen to do that. You all talked about that back at your last meeting and decided it was sort of cleaner and easier to just go ahead and pay that across the board. Whatever it was, $3 an hour increase, I forget, for a period of 3 months out of your vacancy savings. It may be worth drilling down into that a little bit, and you know, I can help Kathy and Jeff look at that more. But if you know, to see if some of that could be funded through the CARES Act as hazard-related pay. I'm reluctant to do sort of a blanket everybody at the center gets hazard pay, because you know, I think you open yourself up to, you know, some scrutiny if it's not, you know, more directly linked to, you know, what was unique about the job and the hazard risks. And anyway, that could be something. If Kathy, if you're looking for eligible expenditures, that could be an area where you have significant.
And the bill is having the same conversation. So I would think that the circumstances are similar enough that it's answered, and if for one agency, it's the same answer for the other. And we've got some folks who are working on compliance questions with the CARES, and sure that we could offer some support there too.
Yeah, from Flavanna's standpoint, we haven't stepped off the ledge to do any hazard pay from CARES funds. I know there's been a lot of back and forth in some of the finance related organizations on, you know, what's eligible, you know, talking about substantial mitigation measures that those positions are doing, rather than just kind of a blanket statement. If I'm a deputy or something on the road, does that qualify for hazard pay? Well, maybe if my specific job is to make sure everyone's, you know, social distancing and adhering to masks, then maybe so. But if I'm just doing my regular job, then we've kind of stepped away from that. I was more specifically looking at if you had to buy materials, if you had to buy additional disinfecting things, are there any positions or any additional cleaning that's had to occur? Just things like that.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something with the hazard pay. We just, from Fluvanna's standpoint, we haven't jumped off and gone that route.
Mm-hmm. We just looked into the hazard pay issue in Culpeper, and what you said, Eric, is exactly right. Our auditors have told us if that deputy's doing COVID stuff, fine. But if he's not, you just can't offer it across the board. So I agree that it would be cleaner. I mean, we could do some drilling down perhaps, but it would be cleaner to contribute money for supplies.
Yeah.
I think that there may be an opportunity to identify hazard pay as it's applied within the jail and juvenile detention. In a way that will allow us to use CARES money to affect that reimbursement. That's certainly our intention with the jail. And maybe here too. We also have not gotten comfortable with hazard pay. We did a pandemic risk recognition program. We'll use general fund money to pay for that. We're now looking at hazard pay going forward, but I do think that the application that might be, have already been used at juvenile detention would likely pass muster as qualifying. But that's a question I think Jeff and, you know, perhaps others can determine. But I know that we want to use, I keep going back to the jail, because for me the circumstances are very, very similar. We want to use our CARES money to pay for those costs that are eligible incurred by the jail, and hazard pay is one of them. And so we would want to do the same for juvenile detention if that option is available to us.
And the jail built out the full hazard pay to the localities. So those invoices are sitting out there. The hazardous pay for Blue Ridge at the P&L is about $56,828, if you see the line item up in the top line item. So $56,000 is what you would be saying, to make sure I'm clear, that we could bill the localities based on their percentage to make up that hazard pay. And then that will increase the net income that will be distributed at year end. So am I understanding this correct?
Yeah, you'd be supplanting our local money with CARES money, which then have the effect of increasing our positive variance.
Exactly, and that's the way I understand it. So if everybody is okay, I can create an invoice for that $56,000 year to date that hit for COVID hazardous pay, and go ahead and take care of that. Everybody's in agreement.
Based, I mean,
you're talking about the $56,000 that we've already spent for April, yeah, and July.
Through June.
And I think Jeff needs to really define for the fine for us if we can use the correctional officers. I have not seen that in any documentations I've read. They basically have talked about hazardous pay being for the frontline workers, such as firefighters and police officers, and in some cases, social workers. But I have not seen correction officers on that list.
Have you all, Jeff Brill, have you all, as the jail, maybe Brendan, my partner, has already answered this question for the jail. So I do think, you know, I think public safety and a lot of the coronavirus related federal legislation has, when you get into the guidance documents or the regulations, have included correctional officers. And and I have always interpreted that to include, secure detention staff as well. So Leticia, we'll definitely look at that and make sure we've got a good, because I do think we need to frame it very clearly.
Yes.
And to fit with the language of the federal law. And I do think it's doable. I just, I think we want to make sure I think it's fine, Jeff, if you want to tee it up sort of accounting wise. And in the meantime, I'll help with the sort of the legal side of it to make sure it is eligible and we frame it correctly. I think just looking through the minutes, what was done previously was limited to staff in the facility. I don't know if it was a further limitation, if they had to be like working directly with the kids. I don't know exactly the parameter on who got that.
We for anybody that was on site in the facility, because we're such a small facility that all of our staff that interact with the kids also interact with all of the rest of the staff throughout the building. And so everybody is at pretty much the same level of risk as far as I'm concerned. We didn't break it out between our nurse being at more risk than our staff, because our staff give meds and they do intakes and they take temperatures and they do all the things that the nurse does when she's not here. So to make it as equitable as we could, it was just that if you're in this building, you get it.
And you could do that because it was not CARES funding. It was based on your vacancy savings. So that was no issue. But as you go into the CARES Act, your admin folks that you also gave that increase to would not qualify as being part of that CARES fund.
I like the logic of the increment that was already given and the reasoning that Kathy expressed here, and the logic of funding it out of vacancy savings, because in fact, everyone in the facility is doing a bit more, arguably, because of the vacancies that the organization is having to put up with and manage around. And speaking of the broader point while I'm talking, Green's situation is such that I think we're on a plan that we'll see our CARES Act funds, which were darn small, exhausted. And so I don't know, I can't tell you at the moment that we would have money, our CARES funds, although our share is small anyway in this enterprise, but I can't tell you that we would have that to put into a hazard pay concept. I think the other thing too, there has been vigorous interest in hazard pay, particularly from our law enforcement friends here in the sheriff's office, but there has also been an array of needs identified and priorities found that such that hazard pay is not an active discussion item for our Board of Supervisors with CARES Act funds for the sheriff's office or any other function, and so the equity in a broader sense, the equity issue for me really takes me back to liking what the juvenile detention facility has done with the decision, what this group did with the decision. I wasn't at the meeting, but appreciate the decision to give the increment, to pay for it out of vacancy savings, and to apply it across the board, because it's really helping everyone in the enterprise cope with the fact that we're shorthanded, we're having a hard time getting people, and there's work to do with youth that are, according to some science, less of a risk to be around for COVID, but these are risky days, and should it be CARES Act money? I don't know. But if these people get CARES Act hazard pay, my sheriff is going to be dancing on my head about it. So do we really want to go down that road, please?
Yeah, and like I said, I go back. I'm not talking hazard pay, because as I said, we're not doing hazard pay for the county. I'm talking more about the actual hard expenses for fiscal right. 20 and even moving forward for fiscal year 21. The supplies is, you know, the cleaning materials. Are there any like Clorox 360 machines, you know, just stuff like that that you've had to purchase? That's really what I'm talking about for 20 and even moving forward to 21.
I'm comfortable with the hazard pay part. I think I'd like to ask, you know, Kathy to come back to us at the next meeting and have an accounting of what she thinks would qualify for CARES Act in terms of supplies and that sort of thing, and then we can.
And once I know more about the amount of the award for the grant and the supplies that have already been purchased that have linked to that grant, you know, I'll know more about kind of what's left, because we certainly bought more things after I submitted everything for that grant. So, you know, for example, a thermal imaging machine, you know, that we have in the lobby, and it makes taking everybody's temperature much more efficient, no touch. It's great. Love it. Would like to get another one for the back, you know, so things like that. I definitely think we could provide you a list of what would be eligible, and the hazard pay would be a separate thing, like it was last time.
No, I know there's even been discussion, and I don't know what this, you know, how this looked, but there's been discussion of sheriff departments purchasing additional transport vans, because, you know, just the social distancing component of transporting, you know, whether it's prisoners or I don't know if the same thing could be, you know, looked at as far as juveniles. I mean, if there's a need, but again,
yeah.
Savannah, I would prefer, if there are needs, that we use the CARES funds to the best degree possible.
Yep.
Hazard pay, I'm not 100% sold on at this point.
Okay, well, I think we know where we are and are in general agreement. Are we ready to move on to actually the next discussion is hazard pay?
Yeah, the only other thing that I would comment, and this is going to be a challenge to Jeff and Jeff Brill and both Jeffs, is the extent to which that as a member of the commission, for example, can Albemarle County use its CARES Act money to cover its share of what it determines to be COVID or CARES Act eligible costs. And then have that then be reflected in the positive, our share of the positive variance, you follow me, right? So making an investment in CARES Act eligible expenses in FY20 that then gets reflected in the FY20 year-end positive variance that comes back to us. That may be more complicated than it's worth. I'm not sure how strongly I feel about that, but we certainly are looking to use CARES Act money wherever we can so that we can then supplant general fund money that then use that to cover our other shortages in our 2021 budget. So anyway, I'll just leave that as a comment for Jay and Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's
a good point, Doug. I wouldn't see why it couldn't be broken down that way, but I'll leave that to the Jeffs to figure out. Let us know their thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's doable as a legal matter, because each locality is the recipient of the funds from the state. So it's the locality's decision on how to spend the money, and the locality is accountable to the state, who is accountable to the federal government for how the funds are spent. So I think certainly, If a member locality is comfortable with doing that, then as a legal matter, I think it's no question you can do that. it's, you know, and I don't think the count, I'm not an accountant, but I don't think it would be too complicated.
Hey, Doug, can I comment that up here at the jail, you know, we have one locality, Nelson, who doesn't have the funding through the grant that they want to use to pay for the hazardous pay. So the city and county have agreed to use their grant to support that. So I'm just adding the third party share to their end of the year true up. So it balances back, everybody's paid in their share, whether you used hazardous pay or whether you're paying out of your other bucket. And I could do the same here.
It was somewhat similar, a little different because we're talking about a negative variance in this case on the jail side, not a positive variance, but perhaps the method, the mechanism is similar.
Yeah, it may be able to work the same.
Yeah, I would certainly be in support of that if that can be done.
Yeah, well, that would help us in terms of, you know, for instance, Mark said Greene County might not be in a position to contribute. Yeah. If we can make that decision individually, that would be helpful. Kathy, you want to move on to hazard pay first quarter?
So hazard pay, we've kind of, you know, started going into that territory already. And apologies for not sending out the executive summary on that topic until yesterday. And everybody did get it yesterday, correct? Everybody has it in front of them? Okay. So as you know, the commission approved $3 per hour additional for hazard pay for our staff to cover April, May, and June. And I would like to propose that we continue that hazard pay for July, August, and September in a reduced amount, which falls in line with what the jail is doing. Of course, I'd be happy to, you know, do more than that as well if you guys choose to do so. But I think that, you know, as the pandemic continues to continues in length and the amount of unknown dynamics it involves, I think it would be a great way to continue letting our staff know that they're appreciated and keep morale up and keep them with us. So my hope is that the commission will be on the same, you know, think in the same way as I am right now for that. We haven't, thankfully, had any positive cases amongst staff or kids, but in communication with all of my colleagues and watching what's happening around the state, it almost just seems like it's a matter of time. I really hope it's not, but the scares that we have had, they definitely, you know, have been intense weeks each time they happen. So it obviously adds a lot of stress to our staff, and that can add stress to our kids as well. So I'm proposing that we continue hazard pay for those 3 months, and then at our next meeting, perhaps revisit whether we want to do that for the following 3 months.
Thanks, Kathy. welcome, any thoughts from the members?
Oh, and one last thought, I'm sorry, is, you know, with the vacancies that we have right now during this first quarter, I'm pretty confident those in itself would cover the amount that I'm asking for.
So Kathy, what are you doing now with respect to the hazard pay? I assume that your employees are not getting the dollar additional in their paychecks.
Not yet. No. I wanted to gain approval for that before we did that. And so, like last time, we would pay them retroactively for July and August, and then at the end of September, they would get September's.
Well, I will start and acknowledge that I am supportive of the hazard pay for these employees, recognizing that I cannot at this point do the same for my public safety officers. We may or may not be able to get to a place where we do some type of hazard pay for police and fire rescue. But I do want to support it for juvenile detention and for the jail, which is a conversation that's coming up a little bit later. But because of high sensitivity to the nature of the environment that they work in every day, it's not to say that fire rescue and police aren't also high hazard, but they're not working in confinement in employment situations. And the fact that you have been fortunate to not have any positive case, I think, is a testament to the care with which you've taken to try to avoid it. I don't want to say it's inevitable, but I do agree with you that I think that, you know, recognizing the vulnerability that your staff and their families, just because of the nature of the work environment that they're in, to me is unique. Others may disagree, but I am comfortable defending my choice to support hazard pay for correctional officers and detention officers in these two facilities at the same time that I'm not able to do the same for my public safety. That's just not my position. So.
Kathy, how many vacancies did you say you currently have?
We have 5 currently. 2 of them are the frozen female positions that we talked about last time, which will continue to stay frozen until, you know, necessary. And we have 2 that are going to start with us fairly within the next month or so, and then we still have that one left, that one vacancy. So 5 as of this moment, 2 on the bubble to hire and 2 that are frozen.
The 2 that are frozen, they do have funding associated with them?
Yeah, they were still calculated in the budget because we had developed the budget prior to deciding that we weren't going to fill those for the time being, but we wanted to maintain the flexibility to do so if something changes to the other extreme.
Anybody else? I will say that I don't have an issue with following Kathy's recommendation. As long as it's from vacancy savings, I'm good with it.
Agree.
Okay. Do we need a motion and a vote on this request, Kathy, I assume?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would entertain a motion if there's anybody willing to put one forward.
I'm glad to make that motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yeah, I believe that was unanimous. So good to go with that. And we'll stay with you, Kathy, on matters from the director.
All right. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. I know our staff will as well.
Kathy, before you start, finish that. In your notation, the background, you said there's no routine testing available to BRDJ personnel or residents. Are you working on something to get some routine testing available, or is that old?
Well, I've been in touch with the health department, not within the past couple weeks, so something may have changed between now and then. But as you know, it varies widely throughout the state. Like, I have a colleague down at New River who, you know, the health department has provided them all the materials they need to do to take swabs, and then they come pick it up and test it within the day. I had approached our health department about whether there was anything similar or if they could come test our residents and staff. And at that time, that was not something that was available to us. So I continue to try to keep my ear open and approach, you know, other people when I hear them talking about these, you know, what's happening in their facilities or agencies or that sort of thing. But thus far, what has happened is if somebody's experiencing symptoms or has had a close contact with somebody who's positive, they've gone to their own doctor or the drive-through We haven't had anybody come here to do testing for us or offer it to us. And our kids, knock wood again, we haven't had anybody experience any symptoms. So we haven't had to have any of them tested as well. Now, if we were to have a positive test, I think that it would be likely that we'd be able to get more assistance in that regard.
Do you think you'd be able to ask the local health department if they would do, I'm not sure if you've asked recently, because they have certainly ramped up their testing capabilities since mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Right. And they've been a lot more available. I'm not sure if it might be worth reaching out to them, you know, presently to see what their availability yeah. is.
Definitely. Yeah, that is my plan to do so, to see where things stand these days.
Thank you.
Sure. Oh, matters from director. Okay.
Yes.
So let's see, to keep you all in the loop, school is back in session for us. Our teachers are here, they're coming here every day. We've modified the way that we're doing things. Of course, the teachers are moving from living unit to living unit, and all the kids' materials stay on that unit, so they're not being passed around or carried around. It's going well so far. I think the kids love school more than they ever did right now after having not had it for 5 months. We had a virtual monitoring visit with DJJ and received 100% on that, so we're in good shape with them. In terms of regulations. I told you about the grant. I'll keep you updated about the amount of it when I know more. The hazard pay has gone a long way to help keep our staff's morale up and for us to be able to show them how much they're appreciated during this time. So again, thank you very much for that. We no longer have the CPP girls that we had last year, which is part of what we based our FY21 revenues on for DJJ. However, I still think we'll be in okay shape because we have the contract for CPP, which covers the majority of that. And with the other DJJ programs that we offer, we've had enough this year to indicate that it'll be the same next year. So I think we're still in good shape, even though the girls are gone. No changes in the block grant that have been communicated to me. The last word from DJJ was they didn't believe that would be touched at this time. Hopefully that's the case, and hopefully Jeff doesn't know something more after being at the General Assembly. COVID regulations, the new regulations that the governor put out, we've been working hard to be in compliance with that. And we were doing a lot already of what is expected, and the regulations, I think, kind of just helped formalize some of it, put a lot of it in writing and that sort of thing. And it was kind of a nice validation that we've been on the right track and been doing good things since March. So still working on some of the technical parts of that regulation when it comes to staff training and that sort of thing. Talked about positions and vacancies. Our population is low, as it is across the state. I had a meeting with my colleagues last week by Zoom, and it's pretty much the same for everybody. So, we'll see where it goes. But right now it's giving us an opportunity to catch up on some other projects and spring cleaning and getting some things done around the facility that we haven't had a chance to do. And so it's we're still staying busy. I believe that's all I have. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Thanks, Kathy. Questions? Anybody? It all sounds good. Well, if there's no questions for Kathy, I'll move on to matters from the commission members. And I'll just let people jump in.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have any.
Rolling right along. Yeah, I don't have anything from Culpepper, so Eric.
Nothing from me, thanks.
Okay. Then I guess we're on to the matters from our attorney, Jeff.
Not going to slow this train down, Mr. Chairman.
I don't have not an accountant. If he were an accountant, then he'd have something to say, I'm sure.
Hey, watch that.
Sorry.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I guess we will stand adjourned. I appreciate everybody joining the call and look forward to the next one.
Great. Hi, everybody. Really good, hey, say,
really good to see everybody. Really good
Thank
to see
you. Take care.
Have a good day.
Hey, Kathy.
Yes.
So we have a company that comes out to the Ket transportation site, yeah, and do testing, a weekly testing.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna send you Garland's information, and you can contact him, and you can use your CARES funding can be used to pay for them to come out and do the testing for your area.
Okay, so that may be a very that might be something that with the discussion we were having earlier would be an easy thing to kind of break out. That would be great.
Hey, Kathy. Thank you. Kathy, can I share something as well?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the National Guard's coming in, they're testing the inmates here. They're coming to test employees tomorrow.
Oh.
Now, is part of that because you guys have had positive cases?
I'm not sure, but it was arranged that the National Guard would come over here and do all the inmates, and they would do all the employees.
Gotcha.
So you may want to talk to Coomer.
Okay.
Yeah.
See how that was set up, because they're right here. So if they're doing them for us.
Right. They can just come next door.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So Coomer probably knows all the facts and details. I would give him a buzz because they could probably fit y'all in as well.
Okay. I will talk to him, and I'll keep an eye out for the contact info from you, Letitia.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye. Bye.